an Osho talk. Dogen, the Zen Master, a search and a fulfillment. Talks on Zen, number 2.
Dogen continues, when we look back at the shore from our boat, we mistakenly feel as if the shore were moving. But when we look at our boat with care, we find that it is our boat that is actually moving. Similarly, when we see all things with the deluded idea that our body and mind are separate from each other, we mistakenly think innate mind and nature are eternal. But when we realize that our body and mind are inseparable, we see clearly that all things are not substantial. Firewood, when burned, becomes ash. The ash never again reverts to being firewood. Still, we should not regard firewood as a before and ash as an after. We must realize that firewood is in the position of firewood with or without before and after. Ash is in the position of ash with or without before and after. We can no more come back to life after our death than firewood can become firewood again after having become ash. In Buddhism, therefore, it is said that life never becomes death. Life is beyond the conception of life. It says that death does not become life. Death is beyond that of death. Life and death are both only one stage of time, just like winter and spring. Likewise, we must not think that winter becomes spring, or say that spring becomes summer.
Dogen is basically concerned about the idea of reincarnation. Christianity does not accept it. Mohammedanism does not accept it. Neither Judaism accepts it. It is only the religions who have born in India they may be different on every aspect of life, but on one point they are absolutely in agreement, and it is not an agreement of one day. For thousands of years they have agreed on the idea of reincarnation. In Christianity or in Mohammedanism or in Judaism, your life span is very short, just between the cradle and the grave, maybe 70 years or 80 years. With death, you are finished. But in the Eastern experience, with death, only you change the form. You are not finished. You continue. Your continuity is eternal. You will take many forms, many experiences. Many ways of being. This whole universe is conceived by the East as a teaching period. The trees are learning to be trees. The birds are learning to be birds. This whole universe is exactly a great university, an opportunity to learn one form and also to learn that behind the form is hidden your formless being. Thousands of times you have lived in different forms, experiencing different ways. Certainly, to be a tree is a totally different experience. To be a bird or to be a lion, but the essential life is one. Because of this experience of essential life, the theory of reincarnation arose. And if you go deeper into your interiority, you can move so deeply that you will start touching not only your birth, your 9 months of pregnancy, but also the death of the previous form. It is a tremendous experience to know that you have been here, because that gives another dimension to your consciousness, that if you had been here in the past, you will be here in the future. The past and future both are in balance. The present moment is just the balancing moment. And if you can dig deep in the present moment, you cannot only experience your past lives, there is a possibility. If your effort is really total, you may start having glimpses of your future possibilities. Gautam Buddha is reported to have said that we never begin our journey, it is eternal. You cannot reach to the point exploring within yourself where you started the journey. That bus stop you cannot find. You have always moving, traveling. So the beginning cannot be found, it is not there. But the end can be found. You will be surprised to think about it, that the ordinary death is not a death, because the consciousness moves into another form. A bird becomes a tree. A tree becomes an animal. An animal becomes a human being. But if your experience of all your past lives suddenly flashes you to the idea that you are eternal, that very moment you are disidentified with the body-mind structure. And this identification is the real death. Now you will not take another form. You will enter into the formless. It is called the great death. But to have a great death, you need to have a great life. Ordinary living is so lukewarm that ordinary death cannot change much. It can only change the outer garb, the paper bag in which you have been living. To burst forth out of all form, a tremendous awareness, intensity, totality, that you pull all yourself on a single point and suddenly all forms disappear. And just like a breeze, invisible, you enter into the formless. This has to be remembered before I discuss about dosing, because that is exactly the background of what he is trying to say in the Zen way. Dosing continues when we look back at the source from our boat, we mistakenly feel as if the source were moving. But when we look at our boat with care, we find that it is our boat that is actually moving. Now, very few people have the experience of both. Dzogchen was talking to the people who were traveling in boats continuously, because Japan is not one island, it is many islands together, and people are continuously moving in boats from one island to another. But in your experience, you may have sitting in a train suddenly you see that another train which was sitting on the side track has started moving. And the experience is so clear that it is moving. But then you look to the other side, the station is still there. Then certainly the train is moving. But if the station is gone, then the movement of that train was an illusion. Your train is moving. Movement is relative. Just as in geometry, two parallel lines never meet, Albert Einstein, the man who introduced the idea of relativity into the world of science, says that if two rockets with the same speed are moving in the sky, none of the passengers in either of the rocket will feel that there is any movement. Because to experience movement, you need something stable by the side. It is a relative experience. Both the rockets are moving in a silent open sky with the same speed. Naturally, you see, there is no movement in the other rocket. And how can be there movement in your rocket, otherwise you would have missed the other rocket. None of the passengers between both the rockets will even dream about movement, because there is nothing stable around on both the sides, just pure sky. They can live in the illusion as long as they go on moving with the same speed. According to Albert Einstein, a very strange conclusion, of course, it has not been yet tested, but seems possible. If the passenger of both the rockets don't feel any movement, they will become very still and very silent. Not only in their mind, but even in their body cells, the silence of no movement will penetrate. It will be so enormous, so overwhelming, that when they will return back, you will be surprised. All the friends, old colleagues have grown 10 years and they have not grown yet at all. Those 10 years they have missed. They have not moved a single inch, either in their body or in their mind, because movement has stopped to be their experience. Einstein was absolutely certain, and I agree with him. It looks absurd that a traveler will come back and will find that his old generation is finished and a new generation has taken over, because he has been long away traveling in the sky. When there is no movement around you, slowly, slowly that non-movement stops everything moving within you. The mind, the body, everything. Even he was shocked when he proposed the theory. It will take still few years for us to be absolutely certain what he is saying, because even to reach to the nearest star, it will take 4 years. And return journey means 8 years. And this is the nearest star. And we don't have yet any vehicle to move without continuous fuel stations on the way for 4 years. Secondly, the moment you are out of the grip of gravitation, you don't feel gravitation because you are born in gravitation. Otherwise, the earth is pulling you down so forcibly that most of your aging is because of the pull of the earth. And the area of gravitation is 200 miles around the earth. Once you are out of the gravitation area, there is nothing to pull you down. You simply remain the same. The same gravitation that keeps you rooted is also killing you. Because without gravitation you will be simply gone. just saying goodbye to each other and moving into the eternal never to meet again. It is so vast. And the speed will be such that you will be burnt by the speed. These are practical problems, that's why Albert Einstein could not persuade anybody to take the risk. The speed has to be exactly the speed of light. That is the ultimate speed. 186 miles per second. At that speed, everything stops. You can go around the world for thousands of years and you will come back to the earth the same, as young as you had left. But it is difficult. It is just theoretical and hypothetical. It is difficult for the simple pragmatic reason that with the speed of light, no metal can remain unmelted. Because the heat is so much that your vehicle in which you are moving will melt down, burning you with it. You look almost 3,000 stones fall every day on the earth, all over the earth. You think there are stars falling. Stars are very big. These are just small stones which have been caught in the gravitation area of the earth and the earth has pulled them. But the force of the pull is such that even the stone burns up. Most of these 3,000 stones never reach to the earth. They are burned before reaching. Few stones have reached the earth. And they have become great sacred places. For example, the Kaaba, the holy place of the Mohammedans, the stone is a steroid. It is not of the earth. Just because people saw that big stone coming from the sky, the primitive mind thought it must be from God. And it was coming, burning, bright like a sun, but it was too big that it reached to the earth. In many museums you will find those stones which are called steroids, These stones burn up because of their speech. So if we make a vehicle, we have to find something which will not burn up at the speed of light. Up to now, there is no indication that we can create a vehicle or a certain material that can move with the speed of the sun. And unless we move with the speed of the sun, we cannot reach the nearest star. With that speed in mind, the nearest star is 4 light years away. It is such a long distance, and our small boats, and our aeroplanes, and our rockets are still, for the future, just toys. But consciousness needs no form to travel, hence it can move with the speed of light. That is the Eastern way of looking at things, that not only on this earth you have been around on many planets in many different lives. Scientists at least accept that there are 500 planets with life. There is no communication. All kinds of efforts are being made to have some kind of dialogue or some way to know exactly who is there. But that is a limitation of the body. For a man of consciousness, for a man who is a Buddha, there is no limitation. No gravitation prevents him. No heat can burn him. He can travel around in different forms, taking birth on different planets. The idea of reincarnation is a very great challenge. It is not a question of argumenting. It is a question to experience in yourself that which cannot be burnt, that which remembers to have been in other bodies, and if it can move from one body to another body, there is no difficulty for it to move from one planet to another planet. And ultimately it has to move from all forms and disperse itself into the universal being. That is nirvana. It is one of the most beautiful words. I don't think there is any other word in any language which has so much significance and meaning. Ordinarily, it simply means blowing up the flame. You have a candle and the flame is dancing and you blow it up. Can you answer where the flame has gone? It must have gone somewhere. Nirvana means your life is just like a flame. When one body, one form becomes difficult to live in it, it simply moves into another form. The other form is decided by its desires, its longings, be very conscious about your desires and your longings, because they are creating the seed of a new form already, without your knowing. I have experienced with many people taking them back to their old forms, and I was surprised because there is no mention of this fact in any Eastern scripture. That somebody who is a man when he remembers himself as a woman in his past life. If he goes deeper, he again remembers himself as a man. First, I was puzzled because it is not mentioned anywhere. But then I could see the point that every woman is desiring to be a man. She thinks that I am confined in the home. And man is enjoying everything. And every man thinks once in a while the beauty, the mystery of a woman. So it is very natural that you are creating your another form already without consciously. If you are man, you will be born as woman. And this is a vicious circle. Because when you die unconsciously. When you are born, you are born unconsciously. So you don't know from where you are coming. And what was the reason of your taking this form? The whole foundation of meditation is to make you so alert that you can see the forming of seeds and desires and dropping them If you can die without a siege, without a half-hearted way, not totally, with something incomplete, with something that you wanted to do and death has come in between, then you cannot expect to disappear into the universal. Then the flame will take another home. According to your desires, your reincarnation. Meditation simply means to drop slowly, slowly all your desires. And when death comes, celebrate it. Celebrate it. Because everything is complete and you are ready. This readiness and completeness will give you the ultimate freedom of formlessness. That formlessness is nirvana. All these Buddhas like Dzogchen are pointing towards that formlessness. First, he is talking about relativity. When we look back at the soul from our boat, we mistakenly feel as if the soul were moving. But when we look at our boat with care, we find that it is our boat that is actually moving. Similarly, when we see all things with the deluded idea that our body and mind are separate from each other, we mistakenly think innate mind and nature are eternal. But when we realize that our body and mind are inseparable, we see clearly that all things are not substantial. The body has a substantiality. When someone dies, all the elements of the body dissolve into their sources, water into water, and air into air, and earth into earth. Only one invisible bird weightless, because it has been experimented that if there is a soul which moves out of the body, then certainly the man who was alive is weighed And when he is dead, he is Ved. The Ved does not differ. He is of the same Ved still. To the objective mind, it means nothing has moved out. Even experiments had been done to put in a glass case the dying man so that they can see if something moves out, it will have to break the glass somewhere. But the glass remains intact and the man dies. These things have supported the atheists that there is no such thing as soul. But these conclusions are absolutely rational but stupid. There is no contradiction in being stupid and rational. Of course, the intellectual person will be more profound stupid than ordinary idiots. Ordinary idiots are simple people. But there are extraordinary idiots. And because of their rationality, they have turned almost the whole world's mind to be materialistic. Half of the world is communist, which does not believe that there is anything in the body. It is just a combination of materials. And the remaining world, which thinks it is spiritual, only thinks, never experiments. The experiment is not to be done in a scientific lab. It has to be done within yourself. That's what we are doing here. To find something immaterial, invisible to the eyes, untouchable to the hands, but still the very heart of our being, the very throb of our being. Once you have known it, all fear of death disappears, and a new courage, so fresh, like a morning rose. Still with dew drops shining on it in the sun. A new courage to rebel against all that is traditionally accepted, maybe rationally accepted, but is not based on actual experience of meditation. other than meditation, there is no way to decide whether you are just matter or there is something immaterial. Without that immaterial, you lose all your splendor. Only that immaterial part of your being gives you dignity, makes you not only a man, but makes you capable of touching the highest peak of being a Buddha. Firewood, when burned, becomes ash. The ash never becomes reverse to being firewood. Still, we would not regard firewood as a before and as an after. We must realize that firewood is in the position of firewood with or without, before and after. As in the question is the same. In the position of as, with or without, before and after. What Dzogchen is trying to say, that when firewood disappears into a heap of ash, you should not think that something has in existence changed, only the form. The ash was present in the firewood, unmanifest. The fire has helped the ash to become manifest and visible. These are ways of telling some things which directly are more difficult to say, but I can say them directly to you. This is not an assembly of kindergarten seekers. What you are, you have been before the same, whatever the form. And if you can discover yourself, then it does not matter in what form you will move. And if you can penetrate yourself to its very center, because yourself has a circumference and a center. If you remain at the circumference, then you will move into another form. But if your arrow reaches to the very center, you are graduated from forms. Now you are capable of being one with the universe. Now you can sing with the birds, dance with the flowers, shine with the stars. From a small dewdrop, you have become the very ocean. In America, which has produced very few men which are worth quoting, one man is certainly significant, but seems to be almost forgotten. That is William James. He introduced this beautiful word, oceanic. People have forgotten him and his word because very few people reach to that experience. But here, everybody has to reach to the experience from dewdrop to the ocean. Unless you experience oceanic, yourself is spreading in all 10 directions in absolute freedom. You have not used the great opportunity of life. Dogen is saying, we can no more come back to life after our death then firewood can become firewood again after having become ash. In Buddhism there is said that life never becomes death. Life is beyond the conception of life. It says that death does not become life. Death is beyond that of death. Life and death are both only one stage of time, just like winter and spring. Likewise, we must not think that winter becomes spring or say that spring becomes summer. Dogen is saying that forms don't change into other forms. Winter remains winter. Summer remains summer. But something inner moves on from one climate to another climate, which is beyond birth and beyond death, which is beyond life, which simply is. You can give it any shape, any form, but you cannot take away its isness. This isness is the greatest discovery of the East. West has missed it completely. A haiku by Hokusai runs, "The moon on the pine, I keep hanging it, taking it off and gazing each time." I have told you the moon is one of the great symbols in the mystery school of Zen. You will come across moon many times from different aspects. The moon on the pine, I keep hanging it. Just try to understand the poetry. I keep hanging it, taking it off and gazing each time. Certainly you cannot hang the moon and take it off. But what you can do, you can open your eyes and you can close your eyes. When you close your eyes, you have taken the moon away. When you open your eyes, you bring the moon again. And gazing at it every time, it never fulfills the desire, the longing for beatitude. Another haiku runs, "One full moon, stars numberless, the sky dark green." These are not ordinary poetries. These are expressions of deep meditations. Night, and particularly moon nights, have been found to be very supportive to meditation. Now even science suspects that moon has a certain effect on the mind, because most of the people who go mad on the full moon night. Hence the word lunatic. It comes from lunar, the moon. Another word, the moon struck. More people commit suicide on full moon than any other day. And more people have become enlightened on the full moon than on any other day. Science has its own reasons. Because the moon is really a part of the earth, some 4 million years before, a great chunk of the earth separated from the earth. Our all great oceans are because of that chunk deep valleys were left for rain to fill them with ocean. The moon has one-eighth gravitation because it is one-eighth of the earth. That means gazing at the moon, you slowly, slowly become more light. The gravitation is less on your being. That is the scientist's explanation. And you can see the effect on the seas because they are holding the place of the moon. Where the moon used to be once, that's why on the full moon there are great tides. And in human body there is 80% water, ocean water, with the same chemicals. Just as tides arise in the ocean, something arises in the human being if he is on the right track. Perhaps he may become enlightened. And if he is on wrong tracks, he can commit suicide, or commit a murder, or go mad. There are thousands of ways. But there is only one way that reaches to your ultimate sensitivity, the way of the meditation, the way of closing all outgoing doors and being in. And once in a while these Zen meditators have opened their eyes and they have seen the moon or a sunset or a lotus, and out of their meditation a certain expression has arisen. Only through meditation you will be able to understand it. It is not poetry. It is not written with the mind, it is a heartfelt feeling. One full moon, stars numberless, the sky dark green. If you are in deep meditation and you see this dark sky with so many stars and one single moon, your silence will become immensely deeper immediately. These haikus are not meaningful for those who have not experienced anything about meditation. A haiku by Sikhi: evening moon, plum blossoms start to fall upon the lute. These are pictures seen by a deeply meditative consciousness. They don't mean anything. They are not supposed to have any meaning. They are pictorial. Once Picasso was asked, a man was watching him painting continuously for hours. Finally he asked that, "I cannot resist to ask, because I have been watching you painting for hours, but I can't make any sense out of what you are painting. What it is? What is the meaning of it?" Picasso looked at the man and said, "I don't know." You can ask the picture yourself. The man said, "Are you insane or something?" Picasso said, "Perhaps." Because nobody asks the rose, "Why you are so beautiful? Why you are here in the first place?" Nobody asks a sunset, nobody asks a full moon, and everybody goes on harassing me, "What is the meaning of your painting?" There is no meaning. It is a statement. I have enjoyed it tremendously, just the colors flowing into each other, creating a strange pattern. Meaning is no more relevant in the world of beauty. And what to say about the world of meditation? No meaning, only significance. That's why those who have experienced have remained silent or have spoken only to indicate to you the path to be silent. Manisha has asked, "What is our investment in repressing our memory of previous deaths? Is it not true to say that if we could recall our deaths, we might lose our fear of death and thus be able to live a fearless life?" Manisha, this is certainly one of our great investments in forgetting the past, the previous life. Because if you remember it, you will not be able to be so foolish to repeat the same game again. You have done it so many times. You have fallen in love and you have fallen out of love so many times, so many romances. Our great investment is that each time we go to see the same film, we forget that we have seen it before. Otherwise, you will not go to see the movie. Only once is enough. But in life, you don't complete the work in one time, in one lifetime. Your real work remains postponed. And you go on playing games which are simply childish. The great investment is that you should not remember your whole past. Otherwise, you will feel yourself so much an idiot that enjoying in life will become impossible. Only suicide will seem to be the right thing to do. But suicide leads nowhere. It simply enters your consciousness into another womb of a lower kind because you could not manage to live on a higher kind. The investment also includes that you have never died. It is always somebody else who dies. You never die. Obviously, you see every day, you hear every day somebody has died. You never hear that you have died. Except in this Buddha hall, where you hear every day that now die and don't hold anything, die completely. People from the outside will think this is a madhouse. People who are fully alive suddenly die and then don't wait much as they are called back, immediately they are back sitting like a Buddha. We are making through our meditations clear that this is how it has been happening. You have been dying many times and again coming back, whether you come after 9 months, unnecessary wastage of time, of a woman's life, then growing up, and again playing the same role which you have played before. In the East, the world is called samsara. Samsara means the great wheel of life and death. It goes on moving, the same wheel. And you are clinging to the wheel and you go on moving with the wheel. from one death into another, from one life into another. The investment is that unless you learn the lesson, you cannot come out of this vicious circle of life and death. But you can come out. Every night we try, you jump a little. It is old habit. When you come back, you just try to find out where the wheel is. Soon you have forgotten about the center which was beyond life and death. Suddenly you remember, where is the canteen? One naturally feels hungry after such a strenuous experience of dying and coming back, becoming a Buddha, knowing perfectly well that anybody may be a Buddha, but I am not. I have my wife, I have my children to look after. Just for a moment it is okay, but 24 hours a Buddha will not only be boring, but will be also a torture to others. From my very childhood, I was interested just to sit and not to do anything. I have never done any homework. My teachers were angry that what you go on doing at the home. I said, I simply sit and enjoy. And my family used to say, whoever will be passing by, that what are you doing? I said, there is no need to do anything. Just to be is enough. And they will look at me and they will say, you are crazy. Do something. Otherwise, you will end up in being nothing. And they were all right. I have ended in being nothing. But I am immensely happy that I started very early to see that the greatest joy is inside. Nobody can give it to me. I have never participated in any game. I have never bothered about any work the family needed. Slowly, slowly my family started taking me for granted that he is no more. His being or not me being makes no difference. I have enjoyed the faces of my family when they looked at me as if they are looking at an insane person. I still enjoy to remember Naturally, if you are not doing something, people think you are wasting your life. And the reality is that when you are not doing anything and is just being, you are finding the path towards your ultimate destiny. Before we die and become Buddhas, one time more, because one never knows about tomorrow, so better become tonight. Just few small laughs, because Sardar Gurdayal Singh is waiting very silently. Amir Bhava. When Goso, the gorilla, dies, his female companion, Gertie, gets very horny. After a few months, she begins to get violent as her need for sex increases. Finally, her zookeepers decide to get a man to make love to her. They go downtown and pick up Jose, a big Mexican, and offer him $20 to do the job. They put a muzzle on Gertie's mouth, tie her arms to the bars, and then led the Mexican into the cage. When Gertie sees that Jose has an erection, she goes wild. She rips her arms loose from the bars and begins crushing him in her embrace. "Help!" shouts Jose. "For Christ's sake, help!" "Don't worry," shouts the keeper. "We will get the elephant gun and shoot her." "No, no," cries Jose. "Don't shoot her. Just get her muzzle off. I want to kiss her." Dodo Iski has fallen on hard times, so he turns to crime. He kidnaps the 6-year-old son of the richest man in Warsaw. Dodo Iski writes the ransom note, asks for $500,000, and signs his name. But he has forgotten the rich man's address. So he gives the note to the boy and tells him to take it to his dad. The boy does, and when he comes back with the money, he is carrying a note from his father. It reads, "Here, take the filthy money, you rat. It is guys like you that give us Polacks a bad name." after a wild Saturday night of partying, Swami Deva Coconut is hauled off to a Sunday morning mass by his Catholic girlfriend Biberly, being totally ignorant of the various rituals involved. Biberly seems to be constantly coaching him. "Bless yourself," she whispers. "Now kneel down, sit down, stand up, sit down again, cross yourself," and so on, perspiring from all this activity. Coconut takes out his handkerchief from his pocket to wipe his face. Then he lays it on his lap to dry. Seeing this, Biberly leans over and whispers, "Is your zipper open?" "No," replies Coconut hastily. "Should it be?" Donald Dickenstein walks into an optician's office carrying a cardboard box. He hands it to the optician, who opens it and exclaims, "Wow, that is the biggest turd I have ever seen. Is not it a beauty?" says Donald. "I did it myself." The optician is very impressed and says it must be at least 2 feet long, 25½ inches to be exact, boasts Donald, and 3 inches in diameter. "Incredible," says the optician. "How much does it weigh?" 2½ pounds, is the proud reply. "That is simply amazing," exclaims the optician, unable to take his eyes off the magnificent specimen. "But why bring it to me? I am an optician." "Well, you see," says Donald, "I have this problem. Every time I do one of these monsters, my eyes water." Now, Nivedana, do a real good job, because skinhead Niskriya is back. silent. Close your eyes. No movement of the body. Let your whole consciousness gather inwards. Deeper and deeper. You are entering into your Buddhahood. Without any fear, go in, it is your own home. Except knowing this, all knowledge is useless. Except experiencing this, you have wasted your very life in mundane things. This is the sacred moment . Drink it as deeply as possible. Be soaked through and through. Buddhahood is not an achievement, it is only a discovery. It is only going within your paper bag. You are not your bones. You are not your head. You are not even your heart. You are this beyondness, this silence. Even if for a single moment you can experience it, your whole life will have a transformation. To make it more clear, Nivedanu, relax, let go, die. Die to the world, die to the body, die to the mind. So only the eternal remains in you. This formless eternal, brings you a new birth. You have entered as a human being, you can come out of this womb of the beyond as a Buddha. this bliss, this silence, these roses blossoming within you, they are your birthright. One can remain ignorant, but one cannot be anything else than a Buddha, awakened, enlightened. That is our very destiny. Nivedana, come back without forgetting the experience. Sit down for a while. Just for a few moments, drop the doubt that you can be a Buddha. You are. In spite of yourself, you are. If this becomes an undercurrent, 24 hours waking or asleep, your life will know what this existence is all about. You will know the freedom the ultimate freedom which you have been longing for many, many lives. Don't miss it this time. Can we celebrate 10,000 Buddhas together?
Yes.